Shalom, shalom, daughters of Zion, daughters of Yahuwah. And we are back with part two of the series, The Barakas of Humbleness. And for part two, we're going to be talking about pursuing humbleness and how do we become humble? How do we end up possessing this trait of humbleness? So we want to first start out with answering the question, how do we become humble? And there are four things that I believe happen or that will produce humbleness. And some of them may kind of gel into the other. But I want to first start with number one. Number one, continually remaining open to receive knowledge and understanding. And when we talked last week, we talked about the Shemitic meanings and definitions of the word humble. And we have one meaning talking about continually being open, right? Continually having one's hands open to receive knowledge and understanding when we speak of being humble. So I would say that's one of the things that will help us to become humble, and that is being open to receive knowledge and understanding continually, whether that is being open to the things of Yah or just in life itself, right? As we engage with others, as we have our relationships, as we work our jobs, you know, there's always these opportunities that pop up that will test us or give us the opportunity to be humble if we're not, right? Number two, I would say life. Life will humble us because we do not know everything and we do not know everyone. We must, like the first point says, be open and willing to learn and understand the things we do not know and the things that we should know. And that again, going to people, Yahuwah, just life. Life will humble us. There are so many things that happen that come across our path that we're not prepared for, that we never saw or expected, you know, to come. But then in those moments, as we are before Yahuwah and as we walk with him, we ask for his guidance. We ask for his leading because we do not know the way. We don't know the way. So number two, life will humble us. Number three, learning how to pull back, stand still, yield, and prefer others. That will help us become humble. Learning how to pull back. Sometimes we just have to withdraw from situations. Sometimes we have to refrain from saying things because it's not going to help the situation and it doesn't put us in a position to be humble. Sometimes when we assert ourselves or when we feel like we have to keep going on or saying something, usually we're doing it in the flesh. And when we're in the flesh, it's easy to be in pride. So learning just how to pull back and to say, you know, at this moment, I just don't have anything to say that will help the situation. Or at this moment, I have to withdraw my presence because my presence is not helping the situation. Also, standing still. Sometimes, you know, Yah just tells us to stand still. And sometimes we want to do something and we can see that this needs to be done. But Yah is, he'll tell us to just stand still. Don't do anything. And actually, standing still is a great position to be in. When Yah says stand still, when the situation is such that you know you just have to stand still, hey, that is the best place to be, the best position. Yielding to another, yielding to a situation when the situation or when the person is not going to harm us. I'm not talking about yielding to people and to situations that are, you know, detrimental to our physical health, our spiritual health, our mental health, our emotional health. I'm not talking about that. but yielding to another in the spirit of love and where the spirit of Yah is present. And that is the beautiful thing also about submission and about yielding. And it flows right into the last point I want to make on number three, and that is in honor preferring the other. Book of Romans talks about this in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It says, in honor, as it ends the verse, in honor prefer the other individual, preferring one another. And that is such an awesome thing, you know, for us to be in a position where we are building up another, where there's something that stands to be gained, and we extend the hand and we tell the other person, no, you have it. You take that position. You do it. It's yours. And understanding that when we exalt and lift others up in a good way, not worrying about ourselves or not, you know, thinking that something's going to be taken from me or I'm going to miss out on something, you know, just putting that all aside and saying, you know, this is my sister, this is my brother, this is my child, this is my husband, and I prefer them above myself. I'm not going to put myself or my needs in front of theirs, but I'm going to yield and extend the hand to them. And number four, so we had the first three. How do we become humble? I say number one, remaining open to receive knowledge and understanding. Number two, life will just humble us. The situations of life will humble us. Number three, learning how to pull back, stand still, yield, and prefer the other individual. And number four, loving others. We become humble as we love others. And I was wanting to do this, and Yah willing, I will do it this week. But I wanted to just do a real deep dive into love, the concept of love from the Shemitic perspective. And loving others, that is strengthening and nurturing others. Doing those two things, because that's what love is. Love is to strengthen and to nurture. So as we strengthen and as we nurture others, this will keep us humble because we are looking to the needs of someone else. We see that this person needs this, this person needs that. And because of the relationship, I am in the position to supply this need. And sometimes I am in this, I have to supply this need because I signed up for this position, right? So strengthening and nurturing others will keep us humble because we are not seeking self-gain. We are looking to the needs of others in order to provide strength to them, to nurture them, and thirdly, to nurture the relationship that we have with them. So we have to strengthen the other person. We have to nurture the other person. And given, you know, what the dynamics are, you know, with that individual, excuse me, with that individual, we have to strengthen and nurture the relationship. Okay, we have to strengthen and nurture the relationship. That's why I think it's so important as humans and as the people of Elohim that we really understand what love is. Understanding that it's not a feeling, but it produces feelings, right? It's not a feeling. It's not something that I feel. It's something that I do. And when I do love, right, when I do love, that it causes these different feelings to grow in me. But in and of itself, it is not a feeling. It's something that we do. And I think it's so critical as we approach, you know, as we consider and think about love in the Kahal, in the assembly of the congregation of Yah, as we think about love in a family unit, husbands and wives loving each other, mother and father loving children, and that we understand that we're talking about a system that is supposed to produce strength and is supposed to nurture. And that's when you know, view things, or if you find yourself in situations or relationships, and you may be questioning, you know, Does this person really love me, or do I love this person? It could be anything, whether it's a friendship, whatever it is. If you find yourself in a situation where you begin to question love, you have to ask yourself, is this thing providing strength, and is it nurturing? Is it providing strength, and is it nurturing? And I think that will help people to better, evaluate their situation, their circumstances, and also to understand what it is that Yah requires of us as his people. When we say we love, when we say we are in covenant relationships, in marriage, and in family, if people are not being strengthened, number one, to be all that they were meant to be all that Yah has called them to be, if they're not being nurtured, if they're not being, provided for in the various areas that we sign up, in the various that we sign up for as we commit to covenant relationship, then, those are things to pray about, to really pray about and seek the face of Yah, and to ask Yah that his love will grow in us and that we will understand Yah, because when we understand Yah and that we would also love Yah more and understand the love of Yah and the love that Yah has for his people, because when we know Yah and when we know Yah's love, when we have encountered, hallelujah, when we've encountered the love of Yah, when we've seen the love of Yah on display in our personal lives and we've experienced it, then we will know what that looks like. We will know how that's supposed to appear and be present as we deal with others in covenant relationship. But I think many times people don't understand what love is because they have not encountered the love of Yah. Also, because unfortunately, growing up in the system of the world and being trained in institutions and with the media and all of those things, our brains have been bombarded with this negative and this false concept of love. And unfortunately, many of us embraced that at one time or thought that that was, oh yeah, that's what love should look like, And these are the things that you do when you love someone or when you want to love someone. And unfortunately, that has caused more harm, has done more harm to people and to their lives, to their relationships. And so we want to know love, and we know love by knowing Yah and learning to love Yah and knowing how it feels and what it looks like when Yah loves us. Then we are better to love others. All right, I want to real quickly look at Romans chapter 12. And I love this chapter. There are so many beautiful treasures in this chapter. And I know there are many people out there who have just thrown away the second writings or what, we call the New Testament. And I'm of the opinion that there are good things in both the Old and New Testament. There are things there that will help us in our walk with the Most High. And in the second writing, there are things there, information and just knowledge for practical living, okay, for practical righteous living. And so I use the second writings, and there are many things right here in Romans 12 that I think are very helpful. So I'm going to read part of it, starting with verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of Elohim's mercy or his compassion, to offer your bodies as a living offering, set apart and pleasing to Elohim. This is your true and proper worship. Hallelujah. So right there, it says that as we offer our lives, our bodies, our total person as a living offering that is set apart and pleasing to Elohim. This is worship. This is true and proper worship. This is true and proper submission. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what Elohim's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we have to be transformed. We have to have our minds renewed. If our minds are not renewed, we will not know what the will of Yah is. We will not know his will if our minds are not renewed. So we cannot be conformed to this world. We cannot think the way the world thinks. We can't live our lives the way the world lives there. We can't dress the way that the world lives. Excuse me, dresses. Yahuwah is calling us to be set apart, right? In verse one, it says, living offering, set apart, and pleasing to Elohim. We have to be transformed. We have to be renewed in our mind. As many of us have left various religious systems and religious organizations, something that is very prominent as people are coming to Yahuwah and coming to the knowledge of Yah, there is the lacking of set apartness. And I'm like, okay, we're saying that we're serving Yah, the set apart one of the ancient ones of Masha, Abraham, Noah, the one who made all things, the one who made us, the one who established covenant relationship, the one who said in the book of Devarim, you are set apart people to me. You are my set apart treasure. He says, be ye set apart, for I am set apart. But yet, as there's this huge claim of so many people wanting to claim Yah, claim Yah, claim Yah, but it's like the people in the women in the book of Isaiah who said, all these women were claiming one man, and they were just saying, let us do what we want to do. Let us wear our own clothes. Let us eat our own bread. Let's do whatever. Just let us be called by your name. And this is what we're seeing today. So many people are like, okay, I'm Yah's child. I'm Yah's child. Yah is my mighty one. He's the one I serve and all this, but I'm just going to wear what I want to wear. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. I'm going to do what I want to do. I just want to be called by his name. Not so. We have to be set apart and pleasing to Elohim because that is true and proper worship. And that will allow us to be transformed. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind as we take in the word of Yah, as we walk in obedience, as we walk in his instructions, as we meditate, as we speak the word of Yah, as we think on the word of Yah, as we exercise through our actions and what we do, what we say, what we think, how we feel, and that is all being under the guidance of the Spirit and the Word of Yah, then our mind can be renewed. And then we will be able to test and approve what the will of Yah is. We will know His good and His perfect will. There's no point in going through this life saying that I serve Yah, I know Yah, I love Yah, I'm a covenant keeper, and we not know the good, pleasing, and perfect will of Yah. Now, sometimes in some situations, we may not know, but then that's when we have to commit ourselves to fasting and prayer to understand and to know. All right. Verse three, for by the grace given, I say to you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the aman, the belief, the support Elohim has given to each of us, right? For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Yah, we, though many, this one family, Yahuwah has one family. He doesn't have all these different families. He does not have a stepchildren, and now he has one family. Okay. And in this family, each member belongs to the other, and we supply strength to the others. Verse six, we have different gifts according to the favor given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your aman, with your belief, with your support. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it with or do it diligently. If it is to show compassion, then do it cheerfully. We're getting to verse 10. Here we are at verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. As the people of Elohim, daughters of Yah, we must hate what is evil. We must hate that which goes against Yahuwah, that goes against his word, that goes against set apartness, that is actually an attack on the word of Yah, that is actually an attack on the people of Yah, that is actually an attack on covenant relationship. We have to hate what is evil. All this stuff that we see out here happening in the world, all this abomination, all this degradation, all this perversity, all this stuff that is evil, we have to hate it. And then we have to cling and hold fast to what is good. As Philippians chapter 4 talks about, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, talks about they're praiseworthy, if they're honest. It says, think of those things. Those are the things we have to cling to. It says, be devoted one to another in love. And in the family of Yah, in the congregation of Yah, and in the Kahal, we have a responsibility to each other. And that responsibility is to be devoted to one another in love. So as my sister, as we are in the congregation, in the Kahal of Yah, I am to love you. That means I am to provide strength to you, and I am to nurture the relationship that we have as sisters in the family of Yah. Have we not all one father, right? Yahuwah is our father. So if we are his children, then we're brothers and sisters. And as brothers or sisters, we are to love one another and be devoted to one another, be there to protect one another, be there to defend one another. And it says, honor one another above yourself. Never, I like verse 11 too. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving Yahuwah. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, consistent in prayer. Share with Yahuwah's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So share with Yahuwah's people who are in need. That's the clincher, those who are in need, okay? Share with Yahuwah's people who are in need. And you also just share sometimes, it's on your heart to do something for a sister or family member in Yah who may not be in need, but it's an expression of love. So we must be loving and we must practice hospitality. And I love speaking about hospitality. I love hospitality. And we'll have one lesson on that in the future, talking about hospitality and how is it is a responsibility of the people of Yahuwah is to practice and to be hospitable, to have hospitality. All right, so I just wanted to read that chapter, part of that chapter, Romans 12, as we were, talking about loving one another and preferring, the other in love. And so we have so many promises that, from Yah. There are things that Yah will do for us, when we are humble. We had last week in verse James, excuse me, in the book of James, verse 4, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. I'm just tongue-tied. Yah resists the proud, but he gives favor to the humble. So we know if we are humble that Yahuwah will favor us. Also, Isaiah 57, 15, for this is what says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is set apart. I will dwell in the high and set apart place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. So this is another promise that Yahuwah, he will dwell with us if we are humble in spirit, and he will revive us if we are humble. So as we go through life, as we face challenges, as we face tests and trials, and some things can just, almost knock us off our feet, but Yahuwah, he will come and he will revive us when we remain humbled in those situations. He will lift us up. He will breathe new life into us. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Yah. He will breathe new life into us as we eat his words and instruction, as we return to his words and his guidance and seek to be led by him. So as we come to a close, pursuing humbleness, it is a worthy pursuit because it is something that Yah requires of us, of his sons and of his daughters. It is a necessary trait we must possess in order for Yah to dwell with us. So we gotta have it. Humbleness, we have to have it. It is also a necessary trait we must possess in order to have healthy and successful relationships with others. In order to know your friend, your spouse, your children, etc., you must be open to continually learning who they are and who they will become as they journey life with you. Some people that you've known for 20 years, they're not the same person that they are today, 20 years ago. But when you love someone and when we want to be humble, then we will keep our minds and our hearts open to learning that person as life goes on. As life comes and things happen and people change and we grow, we should be growing and changing and developing for the better. And the change and the maturing, the development, it never stops. We will always be changing and growing until the day that we leave here. That's what Yahuwah wants. He wants us to continue to grow and to change for the better. Anybody who does not change, anyone who does not grow for the better is stagnant, and they dry up and they perish, emotionally, spiritually. No zeal, no zest for life, no vision. But Yahuwah wants us to grow. And so we have to be open to learning and understanding people as they're going through life. And especially when they're journeying life with you. If you're on the journey with them, then let's have our hearts open and our minds open. We are all going to change. Sometimes people allow situations to change them for the worse, but we want to change for the better. And even in the unpleasant situations that come, we want to commit to being a better and a more Yah-aligned individual than we were before. Okay? While in pursuit of the good life, and the good life is life in the will of Yah. That is the good life. While in pursuit of the good life, the choice to be humble will always be right there. And when we choose humbleness, the favor of Yah will be with us. When we choose humbleness, the favor of Yah will be with us. So may Yahuwah be with you in the days ahead. We are approaching the Festival of Matzah here in a couple of days. We'll be starting the Festival of Matzah, celebrating the bringing out of the people from Mitzrayim out of bondage, how they made their exodus out of bondage, how Yahuwah showed his hand in a mighty way to his people. He always keeps covenant with his people. And he showed his hand and he brought them out. And he will bring us out. So we keep covenant with him, he will keep covenant with us. And so we celebrate what has been done, what he is doing today, and what he is going to do. So Matzah is in a couple of days, and so we're very happy, very joyful, excited to be celebrating this festival. So may Yahuwah be with you. May all be well in your week, and may you continue to grow in the knowledge and the favor of our great and our awesome sovereign. The sum, the totality of Yahuwah is just, it just puts us in awe, right? It puts us in awe. He is great, he is mighty, and he loves his people. with an everlasting love. Yahweh bless you. Shalom.